Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. A short Bible study, about 13, 14 minutes, but every day, 7 days a week, keeping us in God's Word, and that's important for the strength of our faith because faith comes, develops by hearing, studying, learning, understanding, and believing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. You know people in your life who need to grow in their faith, don't you? Help them to do that by getting them into God's Word by sharing these short studies with them every day through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. You may help somebody turn their life around. You may help them get to heaven. Make that commitment today and start sharing today with everybody you can. We're going to get back into our new line of thought and study. We're asking the question simply, are you ready? Are you ready? Well, we could make applications to that particular question in all kinds of different directions. Are you ready to start school? Are you ready to start high school? Are you ready to go to college? Are you ready to go into the workforce? Are you ready to get married? Are you ready to have children? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? You see, all kinds of applications can be made to that particular question. Thought processes, thinking things through in your mind. Here's a decision I've got to make. Here's a change I've got to make. This is a need that I have in my life or in my family's life. Are you ready? Are you ready to make those decisions? Are you ready to make those changes, to take those steps forward? Whatever it might be, the big question continually is in our lives, are you ready? Well, we were looking at James's text in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. I want to go back and read that just briefly here to kind of set the stage again, bring us back into the perspective of our study. And so James writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit." And so James is pretty much writing down a scenario that so many of us have gone through in our own personal lives, or will be faced with possibly going through. And he said, you just make all these decisions on your own as though you are in complete control and you have all of the ability necessary to make whatever it is your plans might be come true. Well, he goes on and he says in the next verse, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How many times do things happen in our lives or in the lives of people we know around us, maybe even family members, that all of a sudden, at least for a period of time, change their lives cataclysmically? How many times have you received a phone call about somebody you knew, maybe a family member, maybe a good friend, maybe a work associate? And the message on the phone call was, so-and-so died last night. What? I just talked to him, or I just talked to her a couple days ago. They seemed to be fine. I didn't hear anything from them about they were struggling in some way. Yeah, I understand. But they died last night. It happens all the time. Or somebody goes to work one day, and another company just bought out their company. And by the way, your position has been eliminated. Here's your severance pay. What? I had no idea. Yeah, we were not expecting this either. But that's the reality. Now, we could go on and on. Somebody goes to the doctor and says, you know, I've got, boy, experiencing some stomach problems here. And doctor perform some tests. A couple days, they call the patient with the results of the test, and they say, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have stage 3 cancer. What? It was just a little stomach problem. I understand. That was the symptom. But the tests have shown it's cancer. Now you talk about a life-changing moment, an announcement? Wow. Well, James says, you don't know what your life, how long it's going to be. Your life is like a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. It's here for a little while, then it's gone. It's over with. And then he goes on in verse 15, and he said, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. What he means in that last verse there is, when you act like you are in total control and you can take care of whatever it is that you're wanting to do, he said, that's arrogant. That's arrogance. You could not bring yourself into this world, and certainly at some time in this life, you're not going to be able to keep yourself from leaving this world. Life comes to an end. What does he say back in verse 14 again? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. In Psalm 78, and I want to read verse 39. The psalmist wrote this about the longevity of life and the uncertainty of its longevity, how long we're going to live. He said, he remembered that they were but flesh. And then look at how the psalmist puts it. Look at how he describes physical life on this earth. A breath that passes away and does not come again. You say, wait a minute, breath. I've known people who have lived in their 90s. I've even known a few who have lived over 100 years old. Think of it from the perspective of the psalmist, who is writing, guided by God through the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the nature of God? He is eternal, isn't he? When you think about 100 years old in comparison to eternity, time without end, it's but a breath in passing. Job wrote along this same line, talking about the brevity of life. Job was a wealthy man. Now, at one point, he lost virtually all of his holdings, but after working through that with God, God blessed him more than he had in the beginning. What did Job write about life, the length of life? Job chapter 7 and verses 6 and 7. He said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never see good. My life is a breath. How long does it take you to inhale or exhale a single breath? Not very long, is it? Well, we look also in Job 14, verses 1 and 2. Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Very illustrative language. I really like language. And those you know, metaphors, those illustrations are really descriptive. Think about what he says there. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. We wait all winter, don't we, for spring to come and the flowers to start coming up through the ground, poking their heads up. They're just green to start with, aren't they? And then, over time, the blooms come out. It is so beautiful. How long do those blooms last on most flowers? Not very long, do they? Maybe a week or two, and then they're gone. They're gone. And what else does he say there? He flees like a shadow and does not continue. We can go out and we can stand out as the sun comes out in the morning, and we can, at some point, we can see the shadow of our body standing there, maybe on the sidewalk or in the grass. But what happens? Well, the position of the sun in the sky keeps changing because our earth keeps revolving around and moving around the sun, and it's not too long until that shadow changes and then it's gone altogether. Job says that's what life is like, physical life. It's here today, gone tomorrow, in relation to eternity. How many times has a person in their 70s talked to someone younger, much younger, said, you know, seems like only yesterday I was just a boy, or I was just a young girl, or I was just a young man, or I was just a young woman. Seems only like yesterday. They can think back and they can remember things that happened 40 years ago or 50 years ago, and they can think, boy, how could it have been that long ago? But that's what life is like in this physical body, in this physical world. Well, we need to always be turning to God in diligent prayer, asking for His wisdom and His guidance. Now, where do we get guidance from God? Through His Word. Now, we can pray for God's guidance, and we can ask for Him, please show us the way. And I believe that God can show us the way. But He also gives us guidance on a continuing basis as we turn to Him through His Word. I want us to look at Psalm 25 in verses 4 and 5. And here the psalmist writes, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. There are some people who want God to just kind of instantly show them the way. Give me the answer. Show me the direction. What do you want me to do? But God is always showing us the way through His Word. What did the psalmist write in Psalm 119, verse 105? Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, you get the illustration there? You get the imagery? Your Word, God, guides me along the right path through life. In Psalm 143 and verse 10, we read this, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. God has given us a roadmap. He has given us a guidebook to guide us through life every day in His wisdom, the ways of His wisdom. And that guidebook, that roadmap, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. Through God's Word, we can study and we can learn how to live the best life that a man can live or a woman can live upon this earth. Are you ready? Are you ready to make the right decision? Are you ready to face whatever might come your way? God has given you a guide through which you can be ready, no matter what that challenge or that situation might be. That guide is His book, the Bible. Let's pray. Father, help us to be students of Your Word so that we can be ready to deal with life every day. Help us to not be arrogant, thinking we can do it all ourselves, but to recognize we need You in our lives, Father, every second of every day. Please forgive us and hear a prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.